sure there's benefits while you're here, right, man. You can get as many chips as you want.
That's what people tell me. I have no idea. I'm only human,
Hey, man, give me all that fire roasted popcorn. Abigail loves it. And she, your favorite person. She's like, fire roasted popcorn.
Yeah, she's so good.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Night, it still goes on. The anthem of my God within my heart is a treasure that cannot be bought. When all else is faded, it will not. The presence of my God, oh, magnify.
right, everyone. Good morning. I'm going to ask that you stand right now. We're going to open with prayer, and then we're going to begin to worship. Lord God, thank you for bringing us here today on this beautiful day. We love the weather. For the brothers and sisters in the Eastern Orthodox Church, happy Easter to them. And but ultimately, God, every time we gather together is a celebration of your resurrection. So with everything that we have here, let us just set it all aside, everything outside, and just focus on you. For we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone, I'm going to ask you to have a seat, and we're going to have a, you can say hi to somebody around, just say hi, wave them, and we're going to have a baptism here right now, and so I'm going to ask if the parents and then the godparents of Karsten will come forward. And we'll let our kids go after this. I'd like them to see this. You can go right down here. All right, everyone, you can step here and let everybody get a good look at you. You guys stand right there. There you go. What's up, big man? All right. Okay, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we personally and together acknowledge the saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
This saving grace, salvation, is God's free gift. It's offered to us without a price. It's free, but as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great theologian, said, it's not cheap. It cost Jesus his life. So through baptism, we are identified into Christ and his church and incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. The water symbolizes washing and cleansing, for in Christ we're made pure from sin. The water serves as a sign, as was circumcision in the Old Testament, of entering into a covenant of faith. Children are a gift from God, and I always tell people, remember that when they're teenagers, because that's when it changes, all right? The scripture tells us that sons are a heritage from the Lord, and children are a reward from him. As believers, we're called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God, and God in his goodness gives children as gift to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace, which is undeserved love and favor, as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that children are dedicated back to God. We're told in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord, and in Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in order to present him before the Lord in the same way. Salson and Kiana come now with her son, Karsten, Gary May, along with godparent, Haley? Yeah. Hi, how you doing? First representing themselves and presenting themselves all before God, and then we're going to recognize with Karsten here. So we're here to recognize the body of Christ, that Karsten is being brought by his parents and godparent to be baptized. So as the family of God, we recognize God's love that's already at work in his life, and we pray for the day when Karsten will mature and respond to the saving grace of faith through Jesus Christ, accepting him as his own Lord and Savior, and giving him, and living a life of faithful discipleship. So bow with me, if you will, for a prayer. Father, look down upon your church and unseal for us the fountain of baptism. By the power of your Holy Spirit, bless this gift of water and Karsten who receives it, so that in the sacrament of baptism, your Holy Spirit will protect and guide him in his entire journey with Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Yeah, you want to get to that. I can see those eyes. All right. All right. So, Austin, Kiana, and Haley, as members of the covenant community of God through your own confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, will you nurture Karsten in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and profess faith openly and lead to a Christian life? If so, say, we will. All right. So, I always like to ask, church is one of those things that you always ask people to say something, and then they say it, and then you explain to them what they did. Anybody been married? There you go. All right. But basically what they said is that Karsten here is a gift from God. They recognize it. We started with that. And that, yes, they're responsible for his physical needs and his emotional, mental needs, but also the spiritual needs that God's put before them. And that they want to raise him and do the best to raise him in the Christian environment. And then, and Haley gets after him, if not. That's part of her deal. And by doing that, then their hope is that Karsten, once he achieves a cognitive age, he'll be able to accept God for himself. Now, what is that cognitive age? I don't know. For some people, it could be 40, 50. For other people who are as intelligent as me, it was 5 years old. But it was 5 years old, but I was not intelligent. I had a lot of Jonah years, but we're not talking about me right now, all right? So that's what they just said. Okay? And if you guys have something, because we always do this in a church environment, because this is a church event, the community. We've talked about the community of God. So to the covenant community of faith that you guys gathered here, will you surround Karsten and those before you with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God? If so, say we will. Now, what you said is that you said if they choose that this is a place for Karsten to go ahead and have that upbringing, that you will do the things that are needed in order to help them be able to help raise him in the church. That means Sunday school. That means youth group, right, Jen? Just being there for all kinds of things, right? Don't frown at me. You like me, all right? All right, so Karsten, come here. Come here. We're going to play. Come here. You want to play with something? Here we go. Come here. You want to play? Look at this. Look. You want to play with that? There you go. Go on. There you go. How's that? All right. So let me move this here. So you ready? Are you ready for this, Karsten? All right. So Karsten, let me move you on this side. All right. So they can get the, you know. Karsten, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ready? There we go. Here we go. Let me put you here so we can go. Ready? Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. He's unimpressed. Closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. There you go. Let's take a walk. Let's go see some people. Ready? You want to go see some people? You want to say hi to them? Come on, do your usual thing. Here you go. Look at those eyes. See how inquisitive he is? Right? He wants to get into everything, don't you, buddy? There he is. What do you think? Man, you are not light, brother. I tell you that. I know you like to eat. I know you just tell him hi. You want to say hi now, right? He's so chilled. Here you go. All right. And so here we go. So we have this. Oh, it got wet anyway. I made a mess. All right. So here is a certificate. And this is copies of the service. And there's flowers that are also here. I'm just going to leave this stuff here so you guys don't have to juggle that as well. So thank you, guys. Let's welcome all in. Thank you, guys. All right, at this time, I am going to give you the opportunity to say hello to those around you, and our children can go ahead and head to our Haven kids. Say hi. Hi. There you go.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
In case you're wondering, that was not my voice. Wow, that's a great voice. All right, everyone. We're going to move to our time of prayer. If you're joining with us today for the baptism or just visiting, we welcome you. Also, we welcome those who are watching church online and part of that, and we're just glad that you're here on this day. This time we have our prayer request. If you're here, you can always fill those out at the back doors. If not, and you're like, oh, I should have got something. Am I on? Can you hear me? All right. So if you want to put down a prayer request, you can go to our website, havencc.org, and there is a part where you can put prayer requests in, and we'll make sure that we get those in. All right. So a couple of prayers. Hawk has a prayer. His sister-in-law is about to have a C-section and is very healthy, and they're overseas. Is that right? Yep. So we want to continue to lift them up in your prayers. Prayers for Lou for healing and for several others. We always think of Liz. And I saw Jenny here today, so it's good to see Jenny's face. And also prayer for Roger Kipp, who's been going through some health issues as well. Prayers, Dory asked for prayers for the Tome family, and there's several from Holly Kipp that are unspoken prayers. And Karen Verde, she's helping with that baptismal thing by helping teach Sunday school today, but she wants to let us know that she is very happy with the praise that she has a new granddaughter, Emily Claire Ashdown, and born this past Thursday, and mom and baby are home and doing really, really well. So we thank God for all that, okay? Let's go to Lord in prayer right now, if you will. God, we come to you today, and we also once again come to you and thank you and give you praise for all that you do in our lives. And God, as we journey through this time. We're doing a series on prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We ask that your Holy Spirit be with us to guide us and direct us. Ultimately, though, God, we recognize that there are many who we already lifted up, those who are going to have babies, those who are dealing with health issues, those who have new babies and people in there. We thank you for Karsten and his life that we honored as the gift to his family here today. And God, we know that there's many of us who have unspoken kind of thoughts and just concerns, and we can't just seem to free ourselves of that. So what we ask right now is, God, that you just meet our needs where they are. Not that you're like here to just serve us, but that, God, you answer those things in your will and your way, and let us be able to accept that, recognizing that you are the one who has all things in control. For that and all things, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Be with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we have a few announcements, and then we're going to watch this, and then we have a brief announcement.
Hey, everybody. On that turning of all the announcements, you saw one thing on there, and that was about Compassion Sunday, which is next week. If you don't know what Compassion is a ministry that focuses on releasing children in poverty by Jesus' name. And so next week is going to be Compassion Sunday. You'll have the opportunity next week to participate somehow in supporting a child in need. Children around the world, to sponsor a child through Compassion is like $38 a month and only $1 a day. But we're going to have different options from our church, from sponsoring a child to donating to buying something from a gift catalog that you can buy. If you're interested, I would ask that this week you prayerfully consider it. And next week we'll have Compassion Sunday. So thank you very much.
Very quickly there as well on the sheets. On the 30th of April, Dave, wave your hand, Dave. There's Dave. Dave is leading a group. We often go in and help people in building projects, and there is one. What time are you meeting here?
We're going to meet hopefully at that location.
Okay.
So it's in the Rising Sun area around Route 1.
Okay. Okay, so again, what Dave was mentioning, in case you didn't hear, they're going to be tearing down a deck that's in bad shape and rebuilding another one that's there. All skills, whether you go from a gopher to being a master crafts person or whatever, feel free to go ahead and connect with Dave. If you didn't connect with him, you can also send things to info@havencc.org. We'll make sure it goes right to him as well. All right, everybody good? You guys got your tool belts ready? Okay, there we go. All right, so welcome. Last week was Easter. You guys on a chocolate hangover? Anybody? A lot of different things that were there. So we finished up a series after several weeks. I think altogether it was like 10 or 11 weeks on what we believe as the Apostles' Creed. And I think that's one of the most important series I've done in a long time, just to kind of kind of break down what we believe and how we believe it. So today, we're going to start a new series, and that series is going to be based on prayer. And basically on the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to take that. So one of the things that we find out is prayer is one of the most common faith practices among American adults. Some 79% of Americans say they have prayed at least once in 3 months. Yet it also is very complex and multifaceted. For some people, and many people, prayer is very hard. It's not easy. Sometimes you may feel foolish in the words that you say. Like sometimes we hear somebody pray and we're like, oh my gosh, that is like amazing. And other times we're like, some of us may stutter over our words or get concerned and those kind of things. So, I mean, some of us may feel foolish because just by the posture, many of us were taught to have your hands folded and your eyes closed. And some people, we've even talked about being on your knees in prayer as well. A lot of times we just don't know what to pray for. Correct? A lot of times we're not quite sure. And a lot of us and many times don't know how to pray. There was a story where it was, you know, it's getting warmer and you're going to have a beautiful day today. And there was a house that was full of guests and things weren't going well. And the hostess got everyone seated for dinner and she was just sweating. She was just exhausted already. And she said to her daughter, honey, why don't you say a prayer? Why don't you say grace for the meal? Well, the little girl goes, but mom, I don't know what to say. And she goes, yes, you do. She goes, no, I don't. She goes, well, just say the last prayer you heard me use today. And with that, the girl said, okay. And she lowered her head and she said, oh, God, why did I invite these miserable, ungrateful people to my house on such a hot day? Be very careful, right, what you say. So kids always pick things up. Prayer is probably one of the most invigorating for some and most frightening parts of the Christian faith. There are often two types of prayer, regardless of our commitment to God, that we learn. One tends to be early childhood prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I mean, you ever thought about how creepy the words are to that? You're telling little kids, I'm going to go to sleep now, but if I die, can you take me? I mean, that's, good night, honey. You know, that's very weird. But that's what we teach them. Or God is great, God is good. We know those kind of things. Or many of us have had those desperation crisis prayers. Oh, God, I promise if you just get me out of this, I will never. And we have that. And it often many times we don't take time to thank God or even recognize him for the work that he does. But Jesus, what we learn is Jesus knew a lot about prayer, and we need Jesus to teach us about prayer. And he invites us into that, and through the Lord's Prayer, he gives us this model of prayer. It's Jesus' way of helping us with a pattern of prayer, an intimate pattern of prayer for a lifetime with God. It was never meant to be a special group of magical words that we say and we go ahead and do it. Some of you may remember when you said the Lord's Prayer in school. Some of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because that'll date you. But others of us just learned in an environment. Now, I can tell you, after almost 27 years of ministry, when I used to do funerals, and I still do it at the graveside, I finished with the Lord's Prayer. And it used to be that everybody said it. Now it's amazing how many people don't know what the Lord's Prayer is or how to say it. So we're beginning this new series called Living on the Prayer. We're not going to sing Bon Jovi yet. I don't know. We have before, but we will go week by week through the Lord's Prayer, sometimes jumping around. And that's okay. We also have, you saw up there, that we have a thing called the prayer course. I also suggest, like, if you have on the back of your, if you're not in the front row, on the back of your, the seat in front of you, you have a thing for our church app. And we have, it's a great thing to get hold of. But we have several different options for you to go ahead. And we're doing a church-wide groups. And many people are getting together for this. Just a couple hours or so, about an hour or so throughout the week, and you're going to get together, and it's going to be about the topic, and then you're going to watch a video, have some questions, and then maybe have some food and that good stuff because everybody likes to eat. And then we're going to learn about prayer. And so we have pretty much every day of the week, and Wednesday, I mean, you can pick all day Wednesday. We even have some options that are with Zoom. So even if you can't be there, you can be there. We all know about about doing things through video conferencing now, and we've been able to do Bible studies through those areas as well. So we'd love for anybody. I don't care if this is the first time you're here. I don't care if you live in Australia and you just came across it. We'd love to have you be part of this group. In order so that we can learn more about prayer and deepen our prayer life. So why do we do this? Well, when you think about it, we need to pray. And things change when we pray. It really does. And so God has given us a power of prayer that exists there. I heard a story about a man named Larry. And Larry went to a revival. He was a special evangelist, and he went there. And Larry went and listened to the preacher, and after a while, the preacher asked, if anybody need to be prayed over for healing, please come forward, or anybody needs anything to pray for, please come forward. So Larry got up and got in line, and he stood there, and he made his way up to the front, to the altar. When he finally got up to the altar, the preacher said, what's your name? He said, my name's Larry. He said, okay, Larry, what do you want me to pray for? And he said, Pastor, I need you to pray for my hearing. At that time, the pastor said, okay, and he stuck both fingers in his ears like this, and he began to pray for him, and took one out and raised his hand up and prayed some more. And after he did this, a few minutes, he said, Lord, just be there for him for this hearing. And he pulled his hands away, and he said, well, Larry, how's your hearing now? He said, well, Reverend, I'll let you know. It's next Thursday at the courthouse. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we pray for something we don't even know what we're praying for. But, recent polls have said that, prayer is one of these things. I can tell you, for me at times, a discipline of prayer is difficult. Like in the midst of praying, I've been very honest about my ADHD, and I'm all over the place. So for me to get still is like torture for me at times, and to get my mind still is impossible at times. So prayer can be very difficult. When they ask Americans, it says 82% of people, when they pray silently by themselves. Like they don't even talk to themselves out loud. 13%, that's a big gap, pray audibly by themselves. 2% audibly with another person or group, and 2% collectively with a church. What does the content of your prayers mostly pertain to? And I find it interesting, 62% said gratitude and thanksgiving. 61% said the needs of my family. And then they said 49% said personal guidance. So there a lot of people are asking different things. Health and wellness. 12% said my sleep. 34% said requests from others. And so there's so many other things. Who prays for health and wellness? Most of them are older people, 68%. And millennials, 38%. We have some other ones. Who prays for a sense of peace? I found it interesting. Children under 40, children under 18, 43% of them pray for a sense of peace in their life. What does that tell us? That tells us our children are really shaken. And I'd say that number probably went up after the last couple years, as you see the numbers of depression and suicide and anxiety have gone through the roof. And so there's other different things about who prays, conservatives or others. And who prays for their sleep? Millennials, 19%. And their children under 18, 19%, probably because mom and dad aren't sleeping as well. And the elders, only 1%. They're sleeping away. They're like, I have no care in the world. I'm good to go. Who do you pray? 90% pray to God, 50% to Jesus, 23% to the Holy Spirit, 5% to saints, 5% a higher power not associated with specific religion, 3% a divine power within myself, 3% ancestors, 3% the universe, 2% nature, 2% Yahweh, which is basically throw in with God, and then there's 1% Allah, 2% other, and I love this one, 1% says, I don't have a clue who I'm praying to, I'm just throwing it out there, all right, that's dedication, you're just throwing, hey, I don't know who you are, but hey, help, all right, so we have these things, but prayer is a big deal that we have, and so we're going to go to Luke chapter 11 and see how Jesus gives us this connection in this power of prayer. Now, what we see is, it says this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I find this very interesting because the disciples have hung out with Jesus for a good amount of time. And they were with him all the time. And they had seen some really wild and crazy stuff. They had seen him feed the 5,000 with like a happy meal, basically. Two fish and five loaves. And many people say there was 5,000 men, so it could have been 15,000 people. They saw Jesus go ahead and make a spit mud pie and plop in a blind man's eyes and tell him to go wash and saw him healed. And it's crazy that they never said, "You know what, Jesus, I got to tell you something. I saw how you took that that happy meal and you turned it into feeding a lot of people. I got a big family and groceries are expensive. Can you help me out there?" They never said that. Or, "Hey, how do you do that like spit mud pie? Do you have to get like a good like, or what, you know, what do you need there? Just like any spit will do. Help me out here, Jesus. I really want to." They never said any of that. The other thing is they're asking Jesus to teach them to pray. And the interesting part about that is they were good Jewish boys. They had been bar mitzvah by this age. So they would have learned how to pray. They would have learned all the Baruch Atah, Adonai, Eloheinu. They would have gone through all those things. That's part of their upbringing. And yet, they're asking Jesus, "Can you teach us to pray?" Why? Because in seeing Jesus, they saw something different in Jesus' prayer. They saw that it was intimate, that he was connected with the Father, that it was relational. It wasn't just this form of prayer, but it's something supernatural. And they said, "You know, you've got something different. So can you show me how to pray?" And so what we see in the Lord's Prayer is this. We see a model. It's a model. It teaches us what to pray. So it serves as like this ultimate prototype. And it was during this day, it was traditional for rabbinic groups at the time of Jesus to have their own unique prayer that everybody who followed them would go ahead and say. Matter of fact, the disciples said, "Hey, can you teach us to pray like John's disciples?" So what probably happened is John probably had his own prayer. And everybody who was a disciple of John the Baptist went ahead and prayed that way. So they're asking Jesus for that similar special prayer as well that exists here. And so they were just asking for a few good prayer tips, saying, "Hey, we're the earliest of Christian creeds, even before the Apostles' Creed." It's kind of like, "Hey, here's what you should pray, and here's what you should trust in." The Didache, which was written in the first century AD, instruct Christians to pray. And what they said, it was written by early church leaders, and they said, "Hey, you should pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day," which was keeping in a very Jewish tradition as well. And but the problem with that is often when we pray something so much, it gets very rote and it gets very like, okay, we rip that out. For instance, many of us can rip off the Lord's prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we could go through all that until we get to we know what denomination we came from when we get to the debts or the trespasses, right? And that's what's different there. So we'll go through some of that. But sometimes we don't even think about it. If we're in the same group that says trespasses, or the same one that says debts, and when we say one says debts and one says trespasses, then we're thinking about what we're saying. So it was really important for us not to make this just like something we say over and over. It's also not only a model, but it's a map. It's a map. It teaches us how to pray. So it doesn't only teach us what to pray in a model, but it teaches us how to pray as well. It guides us in that to express the things that are within our heart. Each line can be applied and expanded in a personal conversation with God our Father. So when Jesus said, "This is how you should pray," he was giving us a guide more than a destination. And we like the destination. We don't often enjoy the journey. And so many find it, as I said, difficult to pray. You're distracted. You have all kinds of other things. But praying the Lord's Prayer is a simple answer to those things. Our Father is to prompt us to pray for our families, maybe. That might be part of it. Hallowed be your name. It's an invitation to worship. And let your kingdom come is an opportunity to request something specific for people, places, and situations that are in our heart and in our lives. Give us this day our daily bread and invites us to pray about the practical needs that we have. Forgive us our sins and challenge us to name the ways in which we've been against God. And so we pray this and others. So when we pray this way, each phrase can consist of this kind of own personal adventure or journey of adoration, petition, intercession, confession, and spiritual warfare. So let's take a look at this Lord's Prayer. And it comes from the New International Version here. And so it's a little bit different than what we usually recite. But it says, Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So what I want to do, I'm going to start with 2 points about the priority of prayer, and then I'm going to go into a list of some things, and then we're going to begin to, I hope that you'll want to connect to our small groups and really get deeper in this and get a chance to go ahead and connect with people. 2 points that we need to look at about the priority of prayer. Number one, we need to take it seriously. If you look around at what's happening in our country and the world around us, we really need to be more serious in prayer. And we also need to take spiritual warfare seriously, that we are in a battle. We sang that. The battle belongs to you. When I fight on my knees. I go ahead and I pray. And so we need to take prayer seriously. Look at what it says, what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6. He said this, this was to remind us about the war that we're in. So I want you to listen to this, and then I'm going to pick back up at the very end of the service about this. So he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So you may think that you're wrestling against people, but there's something bigger here. There are principalities. And I want you to remember that word principalities. I'm going to come back to it in a little bit later. So we're not just wrestling against Satan. We're wrestling against demonic forces. Look at the plurality that the Apostle Paul puts in here. Demonic forces, that's plural. In verse 12, it says, against principalities, that's plural. Against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what is a principality? A polity is the term for a city. Okay, that's what it means. And everybody know what a prince is? Prince Charming. So a principality actually means a prince over a city. All right? So keep that in your mind. Similar to the word municipality, which means many over a city as well. So this further explains us when we look at Scripture with the book of Daniel, which was written in the Old Testament, thousands of years before the verse that we just read. And Daniel was praying and fasting for 21 days. And he was, anybody going with food for a while? You haven't had food? And it kind of gets to you, your body starts to growl, and anybody get a little bit irritable? Well, you like those Snickers commercials, you turn into like Betty White or whoever, you know what I mean? So Daniel was fasting and praying, and he was in a bad situation around him. And Daniel says this in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, and here's what he says. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." So this angel appears to him. "Do not be afraid, Daniel. See, the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," first day he prayed, first day he began praying, first day he began fasting, "and humbled yourself before your God, your words or your prayers were heard. And I have come in response to them." In other words, I've come because of your prayers. But look at this verse. "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So what's he talking about? Okay, he's talking about something that's spiritual realm. He's not talking about an official physical prince of Persia. And it says, "Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia." So there, what we find out is there's a hierarchy in the spiritual world. There are not only princes, but there's kings. A prince is an angel, or in this case, is a fallen angel. And that's what the prince of Persia is. Michael is referred to as the what? Chief prince, which is, Michael is a reference to one of the three that we know archangels in heaven. Anybody want a gold star and know the other two? Gabriel. Anybody know the other one? Lucifer. His name's Satan is what we call him, all right? So we have three of those. So Michael is known as the warrior angel. Gabriel is the messenger. And what we know from Lucifer, Lucifer led worship. and heaven. So what we see here is Michael, the archangel, had to come because this other angel could not get through this fallen angel, the prince or king of Persia. And the angel came to David, to Daniel, and saying, hey, from the first moment you prayed, even though you didn't see it, even though you didn't feel it, I've been on my way. But there's a spiritual battle going on out here that I couldn't get here until the big boy Michael came to take care of that. And so that Michael shows up and beats the snot out of this prince of Persia, and then he can, this other angel can go ahead and get to Daniel. Isn't that kind of cool? All right, so hold on to that thing. Hold on to that right there. And then in verse 20 it says, and now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia, the fallen angel, the principality. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come here. And then he adds this verse. He says, and no one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So what does that mean? We can get lost in this if we don't listen. In other words, this angel was sent by God. They're fallen angels, so they're here. One is the prince of Persia, and one is the prince of Greece. That we recognize that there are spiritual forces that are given upon areas that exist, and their job is to wreak havoc and destroy everybody there, particularly the church and Christians. So they're there. Meanwhile, there is this battle that we don't see that is going on. And so the angel said, now I got to go mess with that prince of Persia again. But guess what? That sucker from the prince of Greece, he's going to come after me too. It's kind of like, anybody watch pro wrestling years ago? You don't have to admit to it if you still do now. But you remember handicap matches? It was always Andre the Giant against two people, you know, and he always beat them. This is what's going on here. There's this match, and he's getting beaten, and Michael shows up. Now, what I think is cool about it, Michael is the chief prince, but the angel also says to Daniel, Michael, your prince. Now, that's special because that means that God has so many angels that are there to help fight this battle along with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know that although you're getting beat down by the spiritual forces of wickedness that exist in this world, that God has a prince, a chief prince from heaven that is fighting on your behalf? I think that's really cool that we have there. So basically, Michael is our prince. Michael is looking out for us, and he's serving Jesus, the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee, all those other principalities, every knee will bow and confess that he is Lord. Now, Mark chapter 5, I'm going to give you another example about this. Jesus is hanging out. He's walking with his disciples around the Sea of Galilee. There's this area over a city, and there's this guy called the Gadarene demoniac. He's oppressed by demonic forces. Now, the reason why he's called Gadarene is because he's from the area of Gadara. That's how that works. All right, so here he is, and Gadara is one of the, there's an area that they called the Decapolis. It was the 10 major cities in that area. And so they're here at the city, and Jesus goes over there, and there's this man who is naked. He's living in tombs. He's cutting himself. They tried to get him with chains. He breaks them. He's got this incredible strength. We would say he's completely out of his mind. He's oppressed with demon spirits. And so Jesus goes ahead, wants to set the man free, and he begins to speak to the man and the demons and said, for Jesus said to him, come out of the man, you impure spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Legion, a Roman legion, was one that meant 6,000 or more soldiers. And he begged Jesus again, and this is what we find out about this principality here. When the scripture, and I challenge you to read this, and he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. That basically you are given a responsibility to attack an area, and that was Legion's job at this point here, all right? So it's important to understand that Satan has built strongholds for years. And as believers, we need to come across those strongholds. And how do we do that? Through prayer. And God can reveal those strongholds to us and fight for us. So the number one thing is that we need to take prayer seriously. Number two, don't take it too seriously. You're like, wait, you just spent a lot of time. No, I get it. even though there are princes at work, here's what we got. Those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, we have Jesus on our side. And to give you a hint, he wins in the end. He's already won, but we're just in the cleanup period here. So don't get too stressed out. There are several times in my life where my prayer life is lacking. And, I kind of wonder, Lord, what's going on here? And I don't want to think. And a lot of times I just don't want to think about the things going on in my life. Kind of like that. A lot of us think of that out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. And we don't want to pray about them, because if we do, then we have to think about them. But prayer's design was not to put a burden on us, but to take a burden off of us. So when we pray about stuff, let's not get stressed. We're told to give it to Jesus. We're told to take it and just, boom, give it to him. And one of the things I want to remind you, the Bible gives us an illustration that we as believers are sheep. Bah, right? We're sheep. And one of the things that we need to learn about sheep are not burden-bearing animals. Like, nobody has ever said, hey, I'm going on a journey. I need to get all my stuff, across the country. I'm going to get me a couple of sheep and pack them suckers down, and we're going to go across the country. And nobody has ever said, hey, that donkey thing's cool at the Grand Canyon, but I want to ride a sheep. Nobody has ever said that. And if they did, have them checked into a mental place, because sheep, they'll run off a cliff. They'll do this thing, and they're not built. They're not designed to carry that burden. And because you and I are sheep, guess what? We were not designed to carry the burdens that we do. Jesus said, cast them on us. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything. How many have anybody had any problems with anxiety in your life? Anybody anything you're anxious about? Scripture says, don't be anxious about anything. You know why? You weren't created. You weren't designed to carry anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, take it and go, here you go, God. So how in the world are we supposed to have no anxiety? Pray about everything. Look at what it says, be anxious for no thing and pray about everything. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, the Greek word for casting is really interesting. It's actually two words put together, and it means to throw something. Anybody been really mad or frustrated and you just throw something? Doesn't it kind of feel good? Unless you're on the other end of it, correct? But you just throw something, right? You just throw something, and you break something, and you're like, oh. Now I feel bad because I got to fix it. But the other part of that word is to throw something, but the other part of that word of casting in Greek means a burden. So we are to throw all our burdens and cares on Jesus. Don't you wish you really followed through with that? Anybody wish you really took every single burden and care and you just went, Jesus, here, take it. And you're like, whoo, I feel light. This is good. That's what prayer is supposed to be for us. In Psalm 55:22, here it is. Cast, there's that word, your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you and never allow the righteous to be shaken. He sustains those who cast the burden on us. So as we wind down here today, I'm going to go ahead and I want to look at several things in your bulletin. You can fill those in. These are kind of like the things that we're going to talk about in the series and in our small groups. Things that we need to seek to receive in prayer according to the Lord's Prayer. First thing is, we need to seek God's presence. And what that is adoration. Anybody ever looked at somebody and ever said, I just adore you? Anybody ever, or you may be on the other side where people just say, I adore you, But when you adore somebody, no matter what they do, you just have this great mindset about them, right? You just sit there and you think about them. You're just like, wow, I wonder what they're doing. And when they're gone from you, you're like, I miss them. Melissa can relate to this a lot because, she's not adoring me right now because I drew attention to her. But what I'm saying is, that's just kind of how it works. And look how this starts in the Lord's Prayer. It starts with, in Matthew chapter 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is the Greek term, because Greek is what the New Testament is written as. It's hagiazado, which means holy. So you're just like, wow, I just adore you, God. Jesus is saying, when you come to the Father, recognize that he's holy, he's pure, he's set apart. There's something special about him. And so many times we forget that. So many times we just get busy in life and we make other things important and we don't think about God and just go, wow, you're awesome, God. I mean, my gosh, this weather is awesome. Thank you, God. You know, man, you make like trees pop up. You make me cut grass a lot. You know, you do all that kind of stuff. And God, you love me. And I'm, you know, I mean, just to the sake of the fact that the process of life being created is so random, and yet you did that, and you were told that you knit me together, that you had a purpose for my life. You're awesome, God. And sometimes we forget the holiness of God, and I'd say that one of the biggest detriments in the modern church is that we went through a movement about 30-plus years ago where we tried to change, and we wanted to go ahead, and we wanted people to come to church, and we still do. And before that, church was very rigid and very judgmental, and there's still some like that. But one of the things that we did is we may have brought some other instruments in and stuff, and that's cool, but I love that. But one of the things is we turned it around, and we even had terms for it called seeker worship, seeker-sensitive worship. And what we did is we took all of what church and worship is and took it off the holiness of God and put it on the unholiness of you and me. And so we made church for you and me, and it doesn't say, hey, God, aren't you glad I'm here? That's not how the prayer starts. It's about the holiness of God, and we've lost the concept about that. But God, the creator of the universe, is holy. He's powerful. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's big, and yet we are small, and we need to come to him in prayer and recognize that. Number two, we need to seek God's priorities, and this is intercession. Your kingdom come, in Matthew chapter 6:10. You know, I think a lot, when a lot of us pray, we're always asking for something or some things that we want. And at times, I got to tell you, I'm naturally selfish. And at times, I'm spiritually selfish. A lot of prayer is about what I want, what I need. I need a raise. I need a new car. I need a new job. I need a new person in my life. Fix them, not me. Fix them. Some of you are single and like, God, I need a man or woman right now. And I want it, and here's what I want it to be. That's what they're going to look, and that's how they're going to act. And sometimes God may give you what you want, and you're like, God, why did you do this to me, okay? But when we come to God in prayer, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's all about who he is, what he's doing. It's all about him, what he wants us to be and what he wants us to work for and where he wants us to work and his priorities and how we spend our money and how we live our lives. And sadly, we often come to God like he's a cosmic drive-thru. Yes, God, I'll take number one, and I'd like the toy with that as well. And can you throw fries in with that, God, as well? And that's how we approach him in our prayer life. Like that God's just waiting and say, hi, I'm king of the universe and creator of the universe. How may I help you? And we say, well, I like this. And many of us do. I know I do at times in my own life. And so, but that's not what it's about. And we have to come in prayer and realization that it's not about us, it's about him and his priorities in our lives. And we need to get to the point where we love the giver, not just the gifts that he gives to us. In Matthew chapter 6:33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then everything else will be added to you as well. So what are you seeking? I mean, really and honestly, what is your life about? In prayer, we have to seek him first. Number three, I told you I was going to go through these relatively quick. Seek God's wisdom and peace. This is unanswered prayers and contemplation. Anybody ever pray for something and you didn't get the answer that you want? Or worse, you didn't feel like you got any answer? You're the only people who prayed and didn't get what you want? Man, I'm going to hang out with the other people in here because it seems like much of the time that I pray, I don't get what I want. Even when it's good things. And that's why we have in here Matthew chapter 6:10. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Unanswered prayer implies that we are enduring some sense of loss. Ultimately, it leads us to a process of disappointment. Our hopes and expectations have been unfulfilled. We've had loved ones that we prayed for that passed away. We have dreams that we wanted that are smashed, and the pain is many times just overwhelming. And we feel like God hasn't come through like we thought that he should. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, was quoted saying this, God has not always answered my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times over. So just think about some of the things that you prayed for in your life. And right now you're kind of glad that God did not answer that prayer for you in the way you want him. But when God doesn't answer, and it's a good thing, like when we lose people that we love, we need to, and we talked about this a while ago, but we need to learn to lament. We need to just go ahead and pray in grief. It's filled in the Psalms and Job and Jeremiah and Lamentations. And Jeremiah expresses gut-wrenching anguish in Jeremiah and in Lamentations. Job, we've talked about a lot, and he faces and experiences many unanswered questions, and he's tormented constantly. Over a third of the Psalms are filled with gut-wrenching songs of disappointment and intense pain. In Lamentations, Jeremiah says this: "This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed." So what do we need to do? Along with lament, we need to learn to have a prayer of relinquishment. Prayer of relinquishment, where we come to a place where we say, regardless of the circumstances, God, your will be done among all things. Mary, when Gabriel came to her at Christmas time, as how we celebrate it, she was going to deal with a lot because Joseph knew that he didn't lay with her and she wasn't pregnant because of him, and that could have cost the marriage. And guess what? People, it would have been scandalous. And she could have been actually stoned with rocks and killed by that. But when she learned that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and she was going to be the mother of Jesus, she said, "Let it be to me as your will determines." Jesus said the same thing when he was getting ready to suffer and die for us, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was in anguish, that so much of the blood and mixed with sweat dropped from his head, because he knew what he was going to partake. And he said, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done." That is relinquishment. And guess what? If God had granted Jesus' request to go ahead and have that cup removed, then you and I would have no way back to the Father and to heaven to pay for us. In life, it challenges us to go to contemplation, to have silent prayer. I hate silence. Does anybody hate silence? I mean, it's just like I need some kind of noise going on in my life, or else I will create it, as I have most of my life. Jesus goes often to a solitary place, and it challenges us to do something that's extremely difficult in the world today, to turn down the volume on our lives. It encourages us to be comfortable being alone and hearing God, because the scripture tells us that God doesn't speak through tornadoes and lightning, but he speaks with a still small voice, meaning a whisper. And if we got everything else that's out there, and God's going, hey, Jack, I'm not going to hear it. The biggest temptation and the biggest trial to this is practicing silence is our cell phones. They control us, don't they? Number four, seek God's provision for your daily needs through petition and listening. Give us today our daily bread. Some of you guys may have grown up in a Sunday school environment like I did, and it was really technologically advanced. When I was there, they had those things called flannel graphs. I remember it was a piece of flannel on a board that somebody made, and they'd stick like little paper people up and they'd move them along. I thought that was really cool. Now I think it's probably pretty lame. But for some reason, I always remember Abraham and all that kind of stuff. I remember we would always get together and we'd sing a song. We'd sing songs before we would have Sunday school. And one of the songs that was always there was this song called, and many of you know it, Jehovah Jireh. And it was just one that people always wanted to do, and they'd always be, Jehovah Jireh, my provider is grace, is sufficient for me. Ha! You know, it was kind of like this, it kind of had like this Jewish Eastern, Middle Eastern kind of thing to it, and everybody wanted to sing Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh just means my provider. And people would clap, and it was like their kind of thing. It was the 80s, just go with it, all right? But God is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And many times we forget that he's our provider. Many times we think we are our providers. We think Walmart is our provider. We think McDonald's is our provider. We think that our job provides. And if you think your job provides, ask anybody who's ever lost their job when it let you down. When we come to God in prayer, we need to understand that he is our provider. And through petition, we say, God, this is what I need. This is what I'm giving to you. And so we need to pray, but we need to meditate. You know what that means? God gave you two ears and one mouth. Listen for God. Listen for him. Everything. Number five, seek God's pardon for your sins, forgiveness. It says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. We come to God and we ask for forgiveness of our sins. For some of us, that may be once a week. For some of us, it may be every 2 minutes. But basically, it's going before God and saying, God, I want you to forgive me because I messed up. It should be a regular part of our prayer life. It should be part of our habits. Maybe we're dealing with our habits and our, maybe for some of us it's an addiction. Maybe for some of us it's gossip. And some of us, I don't know what it is for you, but we just need to go to God and we need to ask for his forgiveness and not carry around that weight. Because remember, we weren't made to be beasts of burden. So we have God's presence, God's priorities, God's peace, God's provision, God's pardon. And number six is this. Seek God's power to overcome temptation. Spiritual warfare. Remember, we talked about this in the beginning. He said, lead us not into temptation. So hear me, Satan is real. Not some guy, that good-looking guy on a screen that's on some TV show that wears like a red suit and looks really like he should be on the cover of GQ. We're told that his goal is to completely destroy you and me. He wants to tempt us. He wants us to fail. And so when we come to God, we need to go ahead and pray and say, God, and even in the middle of those temptations, God, give me the supernatural power to walk away from this temptation. And we've got God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said this, and I want to show you this here. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So what does that mean there? It means you have nothing different, no temptation that is different from anybody else. That means some things will tempt you and other things will tempt other people, but it's common. It's not like you have a special temptation. And it says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And you say, wait a second, God, have you been paying attention to my life? And he said, yeah, beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can stand under. Sometimes God just says, leave the situation and go. For when you are tempted, God will provide a way out. Remember we talked about Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I want to show you something that I think is going to blow you away, and if not, you need to wake up. But in Ephesians, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, remember, we talked to principalities and powers. That's the demonic forces and rulers of this world. So principalities and powers. Everybody say with me, principalities and powers. Principalities. There we go. One more time. Okay. There's two verses that I want to share with you very briefly here. And we often quote the first part of the first verse and the first part of second, but we don't the last part of second. I think it's important. From Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. For in Christ the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. We stop there. But look at this. He is head over every power and authority. Now, if I ask you, who is head over all the demons and all the powers and principalities and powers? You would probably say Satan. Right here, look what it says. He is head over every power and authority. Who is? Jesus. Because he is the King of Kings, because he is the Lord of Lords, because he's the head of the whole universe. Jesus and Satan, we got to get out of our minds, Christians and people here, that Satan is not equal to Jesus. Satan is not equal and opposite God. That's what he wants you to think. But he's not. All the forces of hell cannot one bit touch Jesus. Not one bit. Satan is equal to Michael. They'll do the battle together. God just says, get out of here, boom, and he's gone. Like the battle of Armageddon, you have all the nations battling and there's blood up to the bridle, but Jesus shows up and God says, enough, boom, chuck him in the pit, bam, it's over. It's the quickest battle ever, just by somebody saying, yeah, because he is the authority over all. So you do not have to be afraid of what is attacking you in your life, because Jesus is over it all. So over the next several weeks, we're going to go ahead and delve into the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's, David Jeremiah said this quote, the Lord's Prayer reminds us that God longs for his people to communicate with him, not just in church on Sunday, but whenever and wherever our need. So ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you saying through this message? And as our worship team comes up today and we completely finish this day, which is filled with like all kinds of good stuff with baptisms and great weather and other things, I challenge you not to lose sight of the fact that I want you to go ahead and ask yourself, Anybody ever had a friend in your life that you used to talk to all the time? Anybody? Remember how close you were? Like every day you would call? Sometimes 10, 15 times a day. Did I just talk to you? You're like, yeah, but I just wanted to ask you this. Anybody have those people in your life? Now, anybody have one of those that that's how you started and that's how your relationship was for years, but maybe you haven't talked to them in a long while? Do you miss them? Do you think they might miss you? What stopped you from calling them? For some of us, it's been a long while since we talked to God. For some of us, you know, maybe as a kid, we had the God is great, God is good. We said, hey, if I'm dying at night, please make sure I go your way. And we learned that. Or maybe we even got to a point that in some of our formative teenage years or other areas, we said, you know what, God? We really had an encounter with God, and we really wanted to spend time with him in prayer, and we really did those things. But throughout the time, it's just become a time when we just need something, we'll call him and call on his name. And when he doesn't answer the way we want him to, we just leave him again for a number of years. The Lord's Prayer is God saying he wants to hear from you. He wants you to pick up the phone. It doesn't cost anything. You don't need a cell plan. It doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, we make this our Father, but do you realize what Jesus said? Jesus actually said Abba, which means daddy. He made it personal. He said, daddy, I need help. Daddy. I would give anything to pick up the phone today and call my dad. He's not here because he passed on. But guess what? I can call my Heavenly Father at any moment and say, daddy, I need something. For you, what is God telling you? He's saying, I miss you. I miss you, and I want to hear from you. So that's where we are today. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. And so, daddy, I know you miss us, and we miss you. And so today, we just ask that that we'll reach out a little bit more and talk to you. And that you'll speak to us, that we won't do all the talking, but that we'll be able to hear from you. And so I want to thank you. We know that there's a lot going on in this world that doesn't look good, and we also know that there are principalities and powers in this world that seem to be too much. But we thank you that you are God, and you are on the throne, and nothing compares to you. And so we come to you as a people of God, and we pray for our world, and we pray for our nation, and we pray for strongholds that the enemy is trying to put in our homes, our families, our friends, our churches, in every area. God, we pray that you will tear those down and that you'll bring revival, not just in the world, but that you'll bring it starting with me. There's only one thing that's going to help our world and our nation and our families and everything else, and that's the revival of the Holy Spirit and people coming to Christ and coming to faith. And so, Lord, as the people of God, I pray that you will take this message series and light a fire under us that will embrace that time with you, and that every day and at every moment that we will begin to pray and just speak to you, that we'll just talk to you and listen to you, so that we can say and be comfortable with the fact, no matter what's going on there, daddy, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask for a special blessing today over the tithe and the gifts. For those who are visiting with us today, you're our guest, and we don't expect you to give at all in our offering. We just thank you for being here. And ultimately, God, I ask for your blessing to be there to further the needs and ministries around the world that we support and we're connected with. And for the rest of us here, God, if there's a need that we need to pray with somebody or somebody to pray for us, that there'll be people available for that right now. So, Lord, do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. Wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is.
Everyone, have a great day today, and next week we will begin with our Father. our Father. We're going to start there. So hopefully you'll come back, and we'll see you there. Everybody have a great week, and I know you, everybody probably wants to get up to see that Karsten as he is like just like looks at you like, yeah, and he'll get a smile. But congratulations to the family and everybody else. God bless.